Hello, everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and thank you for joining me for the second part today of It's All About Food. Okay, now we're all cleared out and decluttered and detoxed, right? Good. Take another big breath. All that good stuff. Breathe it out. I'm ready now for that exciting part and the fun part of this program. My guest is, and I hope I get her name right, is Sue Dever. And she has been involved in the restaurant business most of her life. She hails from a long line of culinary professionals and restaurateurs. She is the author of Everyday Vegan Eats, Vegan Bowls, and drumroll Aquafaba, and publishes the blog Sue's Vegan Pantry. Sue is a passionate vegan and resides in San Diego, California, with her three wonderful children, her three adorable felines, and her one amazing husband. Welcome to It's All About Food.
Hi, Karen. Happy to be here.
So first, tell me, how do you say your name?
Sue Dever.
Oh, I blew that. Sue Dever. Welcome. Love it.
Thank you.
You're Hungarian, I read. Is that Hungarian?
Yeah. Hungarian. I was born there in Budapest.
So your name, is that a typical Hungarian name?
Yes. It's actually Zsuzsanna, just like Zsa Zsa Gabor, but she kind of switched it out too, just to make it easier.
I love it. Okay. Well, your book is coming out. When is it released?
October 4th.
October 4th. So we're a little bit early, so we're going to get some excitement going, and I'm excited, and I've looked at the book, and I'm just so thrilled with it. I feel like it's crazy, but it's just like a part of the wonderful part of the 21st century where we're really starting to go to a better place in so many ways. And we're figuring out that we don't need to harm sentient beings anymore. And we can still have all of the wonderful traditional treats that we've had through the centuries. And aquafaba is an amazing piece of that. And it's so much fun. And I'm so glad you came out with this book because you're making it easy for everybody. So let's talk about aquafaba. Why don't you first tell me what it is?
All right. It is, very simply, it's the water that beans are cooked in. That is what aquafaba is.
And the story, let's just, a little story, you talk about it in your book, and for those who are on some of the Facebook pages that have, like, seen this discovery, just give us a quick update, because the history is not very long.
No, it's not. In fact, the whole thing started snowballing back in March 2015, so about a year, maybe a year and a half, nothing, you know, not too long at all. It turns out there was a French tenor. He was a singer, and he also liked to play gastronomy in the kitchen. His name was Joel Rostel. I'm pretty sure I butchered that one, too. And he posted a video about his discovery, and Goose Wolt saw this idea of whipping meringue from bean water, and he made meringue cookies out of it by adding sugar to it too, just like a regular meringue cookie that you would. And Goose just posted it on at Vegans Eat, and just a couple of days later, I think it wasn't even that long, a brand new Facebook group called Vegan Meringue Hits and Misses was rolled out, and now it has about 40,000-50,000 members. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's crazy, but that's how important this is. And it's what I love is it's so simple. And there have been many things in the vegan world. I've been vegan since 1988, and I've seen all kinds of new products come out. But this isn't even a new product. It's something that's been with us forever.
All this time.
And we've been throwing it down the sink.
No more. Nobody's allowed to do that anymore.
No more. Okay,
nope,
before
you can
we
save
talk
it,
about...
You can freeze it.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I'm glad I read the book because I have not done a lot of aquafaba dabbling, but you answered like almost every question that I had in the book. But I do have one more question, and I don't know if you'll have the answer to it, but I just want to get this one out of the way before we talk about the fun stuff. So when I think about soaking beans and rinsing them and refilling them and then cooking them and then rinsing them and letting the water go, I've learned about the oligosaccharides that are in the bean water that cause gas. And so the question is, does aquafaba give us gas?
Well, what I do is I cook the beans with kombu, which is a seaweed. And traditionally, it's a macrobiotic way to cook beans. It helps to render this oligosaccharide that you're talking about not important. In fact, I have not had any of my testers or me. I've gone through 200 pounds of chickpeas in a matter of, I think, 7 months doing this cookbook. And we have had no issues with that problem.
Okay. So maybe just using the kombu will be helpful. Also, people that have been eating beans for a long time have the microflora, the gut flora, that helps digest these oligosaccharides. So that can be helpful,
that's true,
too.
And also, it depends on how long you cook the beans. A lot of people undercook their beans, and that also causes some digestive issues.
Right. So the idea is, okay, first, everyone should know that you don't have to cook and soak your beans, although I think that's the best thing to do. It's the least expensive, and you can control it, and there's a lot of wonderful reasons why you want to do that. But the aquafaba is in the can, too, in the canned beans.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I recommend that you reduce canned aquafaba by about a third, because that seems to be the consistent way that canned manufacturers add water to beans. Because what they do is they actually cook the beans in the can. So they add a specific amount of water to it. Right. And to get a nice thick viscous that you would need for these recipes, because not all canned beans also has the kombu in it, which you would be doing if you cooked it at home. So to get that nice, viscous, thick aquafaba, you would reduce it by one-third and refrigerate it, and then it thickens up for you.
Right. I have to admit, I did make one recent meringue, and I loved it, but I didn't reduce it, and the meringue was like cotton candy almost. I liked it, but it was very, very light. It just, like, disappeared on my tongue.
Yes. So not only do you reduce it, but you really have to whip it properly. To get aquafaba to whip to stiff peaks takes about 15 minutes. And that's with the machine.
1 5 minutes, 15.
1 5, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, anyway, it is, I don't know if I'm going to be tickled by this the rest of my life, but I am so tickled by it because, like I said, I've been vegan since 1988, and just like cheese, for example, it was just one of those things, egg whites, that I just decided I could live without this. And now I know I don't have to, and it's just so much fun.
It is. You can make meringue cookies with it, macaroons. Macaroons have been out of my spotlight for not many years, ever since they came out. You know, they became really popular. But now you can actually do macaroons, too.
Okay, so you mentioned that the meringue, once you've whipped this aquafaba into a frenzy for 15 minutes, and you can add cream of tartar to it, you mentioned that alcohol can deflate it. So I'm thinking of vanilla extract that has alcohol in it. Is that something we shouldn't add to it because it's deflating?
Well, if you have experience with the texture that aquafaba needs to get, then I do believe that you can add any number of strange things that if you know you don't have the key points on aquafaba ready yet, then you shouldn't. You should really go for non-alcoholic extracts, which I believe Trader Joe's has plenty of. That's where I usually get my my vanilla extract because it is non-alcoholic. But you can also use vanilla powder. And once you whip this thing into a frenzy, like you say, and it's really at stiff peaks, you can even add oil to it, and it won't deflate on you terribly.
And what does the oil do? Make it richer?
Well, for instance, in my whipped aquafaba, it's like a whipped cream substitute. It makes it rich and thick, and it actually tastes like whipped cream.
Okay, I'm trying to control my explosive excitement.
I was very excited for that recipe because I really didn't think I could do it, but it happened, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really easy. Now, I have to admit, I've only used a K5 mixer to do this, so I imagine doing it by hand would be exhausting.
A workout.
A workout. Okay,
yes,
so maybe, you know, if you want some upper body workout before you indulge in a sweet treat, maybe that's the way to go. But a hand mixer at least is necessary, right?
Yes, I would recommend at least a hand mixer. But once you get really into it, you can pull it out of your garage, the thing that you haven't thought of using it because, you know, what is it good for? It's made for bread, and that's about it. But now you can use that balloon attachment.
It's funny that you say take it out of the garage because my partner, Gary, we live in New York City. We don't have a car, and he calls the K5 mixer his car. And we don't have a garage to put it in, but it just seems like you could take it out of. Anyway,
yes,
it's good to have.
It is. It's real nice.
Yeah. So I will be making your lemon meringue pie later this week. I was just sent a box of wonderful Northern California lemons from Gary's cousin Nancy, and I am just so. We were in California this summer for 3 months, and I was really missing the fresh lemon. So she sent me a box. So I've got these great California lemons. You talked about adding sugar to the meringue and a sugar syrup.
Yes.
And can you explain the difference between meringue without sugar, with sugar, and with sugar syrup?
Sure. There are three different kinds of meringues. There's the French meringue, the Swiss, and the Italian. The Italian meringue, this is the same thing with egg whites. So basically, you do the same thing that you do with egg whites. You just do it with the aquafaba meringue. You add the hot sugar syrup, and that makes a very stable meringue. But again, your meringue has to be at stiff peaks. Otherwise, you will deflate the whole thing.
Mm.
So it's like making candy, really.
So that's Italian.
Yes.
Okay.
I remember that because hot Italian.
Okay. Okay, and the French and the Swiss, they do it differently?
The French is the easiest one. That's where you whip it into a meringue, and then you just add the sugar a little at a time. And the sugar starts incorporating into the meringue, and it makes the lattice work of the meringue strong, which is why you can bake it, technically bake it, but it's really dehydrating. You can make it into meringue cookies.
Okay,
now, Swiss meringue is where you combine the sugar and the aquafaba and heat it up a little bit just to melt the sugar, and then you whip it into a frenzy.
Okay.
I like the term.
Well, the wonderful thing is that you've figured all this out for us to know what to add to what and to bake it or not bake it and that makes it all easy.
I tried.
And so you have added to the universal consciousness that we all share. And we are all going to elevate and evolve our compassionate culinary skills as a result.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah. Now, this isn't just about aquafaba. You've got lots of other recipes in there, some without aquafaba and some without. I wanted to just talk a moment about yogurt. And
sure.
I've made yogurt before. But I had no idea that you could make a mother culture from jalapeno peppers.
I was so excited to find that out. It's a very classic, ancient Indian way to incorporate the beneficial bacteria into your milk. And with that, you can make this mother culture last years. You know, if you try to make yogurt using store-bought yogurt, that culture eventually will die out, and then you won't be able to make yogurt from it. But with this, I have been able to do it ever since I discovered it about 7 months ago, and it hasn't died on me.
Now, how long can that mother culture last if for some reason you can't make yogurt right away and replace it? Does it last
while? About 7 days. But I have a theory that you can actually freeze it because it's like a yeast thing, you know, and you can freeze your yeast and then you can use it again. Even bread dough, you know, a lot of times you can freeze the bread dough and then let it thaw and then it proofs again. So your culture is still there. It's not like a mammal, you know, that would break its cells or something. It's a bit.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I used to have my own bread starter, which I loved, but I never thought about freezing it. And maybe I can do that because I'm not home sometimes for long periods of time. And you
definitely
have to feed these guys.
Yes, definitely try that.
Okay, so there's a lot of many creative recipes in this book. I've not just aquafaba, the bean water, which you mentioned can also, you can use any bean to make aquafaba, but the lighter color beans tend to have less of a bean flavor.
Correct. And less of a bean color.
And color. I've been praising chickpeas now the last few weeks just because it is the most amazing bean, not just for the aquafaba, but for chickpea flour and all the things that you can do with it. And it's, who needs eggs anymore? I mean, really, we can do everything and pretty much an egg can do with plants. It's just not one plant that can do all the things.
So we have to get a couple of different plants, but hey, the chickens live.
Right. Now, is the aquafaba, can it be used as a binder?
It does have limiting binding abilities. So you would have to mix it with something else to help it bind a bit. It does bind, but I can't really say that you can use it exclusively to bind something.
Okay. Well, we've got plenty of binding plant substitutes for eggs that work phenomenally well. I was just kind of curious about it. I loved your tamagoyaki rolled omelet recipe.
Rolled omelet one. I like that one too.
Yeah. I mean, I've made a lot of vegan omelets, chickpea flour, tofu, and I never even thought about making a tamagoyaki. It's beautiful. And looks like it would travel well, make a nice lunchbox filler, amongst other things.
Right. That's the way it was originally intended. And this one works just like that. You cool it and you eat it from your lunchbox. It's really good.
Yeah. And then the other thing, which I had to go eat lunch after seeing this recipe because I was just like, I have to eat now. I'm so hungry. Was the Levantine kebabs.
Yeah, that's really one of my favorites too. I was really wanting to replicate one of those Middle Eastern kebabs, you know, the ones that come on the stick and it's ground meat. But I really wanted to do something that was very akin to it. And the aquafaba makes the batter nice and light. So it's just like, it's really delicious. And the flavors are really nice.
I heard from a listener today when I posted this program on Facebook, and she shared a story that I wanted to mention. She said that when she was talking to her mom about aquafaba, her grandfather overheard, and he told them both that his mother used to use the water of beans and chickpeas during the war in Europe because they had a shortage of eggs and they couldn't afford or get any. And now she didn't clarify if they were using it for aquafaba or not, so I'm not sure if that was the case, but she was implying that people were using these products a long time ago, and now we're rediscovering it as new. I'm going to have to dig a little further on that one, but I also wanted to send out a shout out to this listener. She's from Australia, and her grandfather, I want to send him a little healing energy because he had a stroke last year and it took his vision, and he's done a lot of wonderful things in his life, and just thank you for the story and sending healing energy there. But I don't know if people were using aquafaba before, and I'm not sure which war it was, you know, World War I or World War II. I do know that during those times we got creative and ended up using plants for many things, and people were making chocolate cake without milk and eggs because they didn't have them. And a lot of creativity happens from a lack.
Right. And at that time, though, I don't think we had quite the agriculture that we have now. You know, all the pushing toward the meat and the dairy and the eggs. That just wasn't a thing back then.
Right.
So it made sense that you used everything you had, which is what a lot of people did throughout history.
And they also didn't have K5 mixers back then, so it would have been.
They did not.
Really a workout to whip that meringue into a frenzy, like I love to say.
Yes.
Okay.
But that's when we were carrying buckets of water.
Excuse me?
That's when we were carrying buckets of water and cast iron dishes. You know,
yeah, people have no idea, you know, how easy we have it today. Many of us, unfortunately, there are people that still are struggling in many parts of the world. Okay, so this is a great book, and it's coming out October 4th, I think you said, by Vegan Heritage Press. There are lots
That's
of great vegan cookbooks by this publisher. But you're so much more than that. You already have two books out, and you have a blog. You're I can't say your name. Jus Vegan Pantry.
Yes.
And you have three children, and I'm imagining that they love the things that come out of your kitchen.
I tell you, they've had enough of the sweets, though. I had to do those things so many times. They are done with them.
That's funny. So how old are they?
Oh, they're older, 21, 19, and 16.
Oh, okay. And
are
they vegan, too?
Yes.
Awesome. I love when people make vegan children.
I love it when they stay.
Did they start out vegan?
No. No, they were 3, 2, and 1 when we became vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Or 4, 3, and 1, something like that.
Right, and I imagine there were some challenges along the way as you were learning with food.
Hot dogs were a big problem. They loved their hot dogs and chicken nuggets. We had to replace those. And hot dogs weren't that good back then, the veggie dogs.
Right, but they are pretty amazing today.
Yeah, they are so good now. There's just no reason not to.
There's no reason not to. Say that out loud 3 times.
Indeed.
There's no reason to eat meat or eggs or milk. There's no reason.
There is none.
I'm sorry,
propaganda.
I interrupted you. No, you talk.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I was just repeating. I was repeating your saying. There's no reason not to.
You know, the challenge about this, and I love technology, and I love what we're doing, but there's this, like, delay. And then if we get caught up in this cycle of delays, we're just on top of each other, one after another. So I'm just going to breathe here. Yes. Okay. So just a couple of minutes left. What would you like to share with us about your discoveries as a vegan?
As a vegan? Wow. I discovered that a lot of people get duped into eating meat, dairy, and eggs. And yeah. a lot of people have a hard time giving it up because that's what they have learned for so long. They are so scared.
Yeah. And there's nothing to be afraid of. All the great foods are out there, and now you can have meringue and macaroons.
Yes. Get a couple of good cookbooks and just start. Start with one meal at a time.
Yeah. Well, I am so excited about this. I know a lot of people are excited about this. I'm glad you've done the groundwork, and I'm going to be digging into every page of this book. Thank you for joining me on It's All About Food, and let's get this to the New York Times bestseller list. Everybody needs to have this book.
Thank you so much, Karen.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
You're welcome. That was Sue Deaver, and you need to check out the Aquafaba cookbook. Okay, we just have a few seconds left, and I wanted to remind you once again that today is the release date of a book that I am a contributing author in, 25 Women Who Survived Cancer. Notable women share inspiring stories of hope. And if you go to responsibleeatingandliving.com, responsibleeatingandliving.com, my website, you can buy the book, and I will write you a lovely note. I'm Karen Hartglass. Thanks for listening to It's All About Food. And remember, have a very delicious week.